You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
This is Manager Money God's Way, presented by Compass Catholic Ministry. Our ministry teaches what God tells us are the right ways to handle both money and possessions. And we use the Bible as our textbook. And eager to go today are the co-founders of the ministry, John and Evelyn Bean. And I thought it may be a good idea, since we talk about it a lot, to take you on a tour of our Bible study. Well, one of our Bible studies, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. A lot of information to cover in the next hour. So, John, how about you start us off?
Most people, whether they're religious or not, don't really fully recognize that God has so much to say about how we handle our money and our possessions. You know, they know that God talks about stewardship in the scriptures, but when they are told that there's over 2,500 verses that deal with money and possessions and basic stewardship issues, they're totally blown away.
You know, that's true, John, because when we tell people what our ministry is and how many Bible verses there are that deal with money and possessions, most people relate that to giving. But there's so much more than just giving in the Bible. And I think you have a story that kind of ties to that, don't you?
Well, in the during the Crusades in the 12th century, the mercenaries were fighting, and because it was a religious war, the leaders felt that the mercenaries needed to be baptized, and so they were. And when they rode their horses into the water for baptism, they held their swords high above their heads. If you can get that kind of visualization, riding into the water, sword upraised, and the thought was that God can control their lives, but they were in control of their swords.
So they were holding their swords out of the baptism water.
So they wouldn't get wet. They weren't going to be under God's control. They were under their control. And, you know, too many people today in all parts of the world, and we've been in a lot of different parts of the world, and they do the same thing with their wallets. They hold their wallets high above their heads, indicating that while they'll give most of their lives to God, He can't control their financial lives. They're in control.
And, you know, when we tell most people what the ministry is, they think it's all about creating a budget or getting out of debt. But really, the most important aspect we convey to our participants is the fact that we're stewards of all the blessings God's given us.
Hey, you know, you want to make God laugh, tell Him you're in control.
Or tell Him your plans, right?
There's a verse that deals with this. The first one is from Deuteronomy 10:14. To the Lord belongs even the highest heavens. The earth is His also, and everything in it. So it really says God owns everything. And then in Psalm 24:1, it says the world and all that is in it belong to the Lord. The earth and all who live in it or on it are His.
So that doesn't leave much out. It talks about the world and everything. So our responsibility as stewards is to manage all the blessings that God's given us. And that includes our families, our homes, our jobs, our businesses, and even our finances.
So once people begin to realize and totally absorb the understanding of our role as a steward, that God owns everything, we're His stewards, you know, that really changes their whole life.
How long does it normally take an individual to kind of wrap their arms around the fact that God owns everything?
It depends on how hard-headed they are.
For some people, it takes several years.
Sounds like you know from personal experience.
We've seen people who have been able to accept this premise from day one of the first class.
In fact, that was their mindset going in.
And then there's people like me. I wasn't raised with that type of a philosophy. My philosophy was that I worked hard. All the money that I got, I deserved more, probably. It was mine to do with as I saw fit.
Notice a lot of me, minds, and eyes in that statement he just made.
But I don't think John is unique.
I don't think so either.
I was the same way. I mean, when I first heard that statement, it was nothing but words. It meant absolutely nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
But the more over time, the more you started thinking about it and kind of dissecting what it means, you know, then the meaning started to pop out. The light came on.
Yeah, for some people, the first time they hear it, it's just blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to mull it over. Don't let it just bounce off and bounce away. Absorb it in some persona of your being so that you can really dwell on it. God owns everything. God owns everything. I am his steward.
And that's when the meaning of stewardship really started to mold. Because like you were saying, Evelyn, when I go to church and you used to hear the words stewardship, I'm like, okay, he wants money.
Yep, that's what most people think, unfortunately. So our Navigating Your Finances God's Way Bible study is all about changing that perception of what stewardship means and what it means to live a personal stewardship lifestyle. So the Bible study occurs once a week. There's a meeting for 9 weeks. And each week kind of follows the same process. We open in prayer, and then each person recites a memory verse. There's a different memory verse for each week. Then there's a discussion on the Bible verses and questions. And then we conclude with a prayer log, which is a way for all the participants to pray for everybody else in the class over the course of the week until the next meeting. And then we end in prayer.
So after the first 2 or 3 weeks, participants are actually encouraged to lead the class because, you know, being a facilitator in a Bible class is really a no-brainer. It's about keeping the class going, being on time, making sure nobody's dominating the discussion. So, you know, there isn't any financial knowledge needed. We need to simply keep the discussion on target. Make sure everybody participates and stay within the time frame. Teaching them to be good stewards of their finances, we also want to teach them to be good stewards of their time. And so we get to week one, and that is entitled The Introduction. And for every week, there's a Bible verse that people need to memorize. The week one verse is actually pretty simple, and that's intentional. But it also, the verse is a good verse that sets the whole class off on the right foot. It comes from Luke 16:11. It says, "If then you have not been faithful in handling worldly wealth, how can you be trusted with true wealth?" And I think that's an important verse. If you can't be trusted with worldly wealth, in other words, the money that you have before you that is basically from this world, whether you're earning it on a job or, you know, however you're acquiring it, are you faithful with that? And if you are, then the true wealth, the riches of heaven, then God can trust you with that.
And prior to the first week, we have the people that are going to participate in the class read Your Money Counts. And that book is actually available to you free as an ebook that you can download from the Compass Catholic website. Just go to compasscatholic.org and click on Bible Studies or Bookstore. Click on Bookstore, and then you can download the ebook for free. And that is the topic of discussion. That and getting to know each other is the topic for the first week. So we like people to discuss the book, Your Money Counts, what they learn from it, and what they hope to get out of the class. And then a lot of time is spent with people introducing themselves to each other, talking about their family and their jobs and kind of their logistics of their lives so that we can start to form that small group and make them a Catholic community.
I think there's a lot of people will tend to overlook week one because the majority of time, you know, you're meeting for 2 hours and about 65 minutes, depending on class size, is spent on introductions. This group of people, these other 8 or 10 people that are in that room with you, you're going to be spending the next 9 weeks with, and that's really important that you get to know each other because there's going to be a bond that develops there. Whether you can even imagine it in that first 60 minutes of that first class, you're going to really begin to hold each other accountable. And believe it or not, you're going to actually reveal to these people some of your innermost thoughts that you wouldn't just normally speak out about to anybody.
But to be real clear, we never expect anybody to share their financial situation.
Absolutely
That's
not.
Never asked of any participants in our Bible studies, even though we're talking about finances. It's about attitudes and thoughts and perceptions, not about how much money you have in the bank or how much debt you have. So we never ask anybody to share any personal financial information.
That's absolutely correct.
And whatever is shared in the each week stays in the class.
Yeah, that's an important point, Steve. We like to look every person in the eye and say, can you promise that whatever is discussed here stays here? And you look them each in the eye as you go around the room, and everybody makes that promise so that it is a confidential, safe place to have open discussions about your faith and your finances.
And what you find out during the introductions, you start hearing stories that relate to you.
Or maybe it's a challenge that I had that I've overcome that I can help them see a way out of. So it's it's an interesting way, the way people link together and how God puts these groups together in the right way to make people accountable to each other and to learn something based on His Word.
Exactly. And the other piece to this whole week one is this is the beginning of a transformation process. And you know, that's an ultimate goal that that we have in the class is we want you not to know in your brain that God owns everything. That's a simple concept to put in your brain. Where it's really important is where it's in your heart. And if you can have that concept in your heart that you know that God owns everything, you own nothing, and you are simply a steward of the possessions that He's blessed you with, then it's going to make this class so much better, and you're going to change your entire life. You'll change your whole way of thinking.
John, excellent point, and you're so right. There is a transformation that does take place, and I know for me it was around weeks 3 or 4 that I noticed a change. Now, if you'd like to see more information on this Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, go to CompassCatholic.org, click on Bible Studies, and you'll get to see all the items that we're talking about today. Now, when we return, we'll explain the part that God plays in our finances. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry, and today we're taking you on a tour of our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. Evelyn, we're up to week 2, and week 2 is titled
God's Part and Our Part.
Okay, that's plain and simple. And the memory verse for this week.
Everything in heaven and earth is yours, and you are king, supreme ruler over all. All riches and wealth come from you. You rule everything by your strength and power, and you are able to make anyone great and strong. And that's from 1 Chronicles 29:11-12. So the focus for this week is understanding that God is the owner of everything.
And, you know, we talked about that in the first segment, but I don't think that, you know, you can't just read it once. And especially if you're hard-headed, like moi.
Moi would be John.
Moi. Actually, it's M-O-I, not J-O-N. But, you know.
I want to make sure everybody knew that you were John, not Steve.
Thank you.
It takes a while. And you have to hear it. And you have to go through all the scriptures. And there are a bunch of scriptures that tell us how God owns everything. And I think that's really important to go through and to hear and to understand. So as we go through these scriptures, it becomes very clear to us that we have a part. And our part is to be stewards. God provides, and we are stewards. We need to be faithful to the blessings that He has provided us in every area of our lives, including how we handle the money. So we have to be faithful with what we've been given. We need to be faithful in every area. And those benefits of handling money faithfully involve a more intimate relationship with Jesus, the development of our character, and putting our finances in order.
You know, one of the principles of faithfulness is that if we waste possessions, God may remove us as stewards. Now, that sounds very punitive, but we've seen so many people over the years, John, that we've helped, that they really just didn't have a handle on what they were spending. They were in debt, maybe spending more than they should have been based on their salary, and inevitably it catches up with them. And that's not a good place to be. So we're really trying to teach people to be faithful in the little things, so that they can be faithful with the big things.
Absolutely.
And the other thing is to be faithful with the possessions of another. If you've borrowed something from a friend or relative, or if you're at work, you need to be faithful using possessions that other people own, because they're also stuff that belongs to God.
Well, you know, it's not just other people, you know, a specific person, but it might be material that is owned by the company. You know, you have to be, you know, people tend to apply a different set of standards to something is owned by somebody they know, compared to something that is owned by a company which has no real owner, because it's in some other city and, you know, it's a great big conglomerate. It's not like a little mom and pop shop. That's too easy to understand the ownership. But if you're working for a big company, it's still the same thing.
Definitely. So let's talk about the practical applications we do in week two. First, which gives some people a little bit of heartburn, is the deed. Now, this is not obviously a legal document that has any legal standing, but it's a way to list a time and a place when we acknowledge God as the owner of everything.
So what you do is you write down everything that you have, all of your possessions, including your children.
Why do you list your children?
All of our children belong to God.
Okay.
He's their father, just like he's our father. The other thing we do is a list of assets, anything you have that is worth financial value.
Yes.
And then the third thing for the practical applications is to start tracking your income and your spending. And we like people to do that for at least 30 days to start out, because that helps you see where you're spending money, so you can decide if that's where you really want to continue spending money.
So let's move on to week three, which is debt.
Four-letter word.
Debt, four-letter word. The verse for this week, the memorization verse, is the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender. That's Proverbs 22:7. The discussion centers on what is considered debt and how the debt, the cost of debt, can act as a vulture to family finances as families try to make ends meet. We had an unbelievable experience of that this week with a couple that we're mentoring, and they had obtained payday loans. And we couldn't really believe the interest rate that they were being charged. And there was a couple of different loans with interest rates between 325% per year, as high as, well, it was almost 500%, wasn't it?
Well, one of the websites I looked at, you could borrow $500 and pay it back in easy payments of $101 for 12 months. So that means you're borrowing $500 and paying back $1,200. Debt is a scary place to be if you're not careful. So all the verses this week talk about what the Bible says about debt and borrowing. And debt is not really considered a sin in the Bible, but it is considered a curse. It's not a good thing.
There's also a section about co-signing, about credit reports, and credit scores. And, you know, all the participants of the class relate to and often identify with the struggles that others are going through. And so you don't ever know what kind of discussion you're going to have, but it could evolve, and it gets to be a significant learning experience.
And I think that's one of the good things, is all these discussions help people bond and make better people of themselves. So it's always a good thing when we share our faith, and having finances in there just adds to the beauty of the whole experience. So we talk about a debt snowball, which is a way to pay off your debt. Maybe you're familiar with that. We encourage people to list all their debt, the principal, the amount they make in monthly payments, the interest, the total amount, and when it's going to be paid off, and then tackle any smallest debt first. We feel that that's the best way to do it because you get an easy, quick win, and that'll keep you motivated for a longer period of time.
And we really begin to stress hard the concept of paying off your mortgage.
Which a lot of people think is a really dumb thing to do, but it's not.
Yeah. You know, over the course of the 30 years that you might be paying a mortgage, you're going to pay anywhere from 1.5 to 3 times the amount of in interest that you paid for the first cost of the house. So that interest charge is significant. And there's some exercises in there where you can actually identify what that is.
So the practical applications for the week on debt are to create a debt list and establish a strategy to snowball your debt payment so you can get it paid off. We review the 7 destinations on the Compass Money Map and check off those that have already been completed and those still remaining. And the Compass Money Map can be found on the Compass Catholic website. It's in the lower left-hand corner in a black box titled Resources for Your Budget.
Mm-hmm.
And then we encourage people to continue tracking all their income and expenses because we want to build up the facts that we have in front of us as we build a budget.
Now, these practical applications, this is part of the homework?
Yes, the practical applications and reading the Bible verses is part of the homework.
It's not so much homework. It's for your benefit because seeing it on paper is when things really come to light.
That's right, because for a lot of people, they may know what the mortgage payment is,
right,
and they may know what the minimum payment is on credit cards, but when they add up the number and see the big number, they're in debt.
Until you track your spending, you are never going to be in control of your finances. Never, ever. Now, you might earn scabs and scabs of money that you could never spend in a month. That's not the normal person. I'm sorry. You're not normal. If that's happening to you, bless you. And I hope you're blessing others. For the typical person, they don't earn enough money, and it's going to be an issue for the rest of their lives until they get control.
And the only way to get control is to know where it's going.
Track it.
Week 4 is honesty and seeking godly counsel. And the verse this week is from Leviticus 19:11. You shall not steal, you shall not lie, nor speak falsely to one another. So we talk about the topic of being totally honest versus technically truthful.
The scriptures in the catechism tell us quite a bit about honesty and how honesty is required by all of us in every single circumstance.
We talk about counsel. That's the second part of this week. And the idea is that we can't know everything about everything, so we should seek godly counsel. And that's kind of not what our society tells us with the good old American independent spirit. When we look to Scripture and godly people and our spouse for godly counsel, we can often make better decisions because it slows us down on what we're deciding about. We also talk about the kind of counsel to avoid. You don't want to get counsel from somebody who has a vested interest. Like you don't want to take counsel from spending money on a new car from a car salesman because they've got a vested interest in making sure you buy that car. So we just ask people to be a little bit more aware of their decision making.
The practical applications for week 4 are to complete your life insurance needs, to understand different types of filing systems that you might be able to use in your own circumstances. You know, what is going to work best for you? Is it pen and paper or computer or something else? And again, you have to continue to track all your income and all of your expenses so that you can really create this database of what your spending is.
Here's a quick question for you. How do you feel about giving? We'll discuss week 5, generosity, next on Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
Look at that. We're back. This is Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. And today we're taking you on a week-by-week tour of one of our Bible studies that's available from Compass Catholic. The name of the study is Navigating Your Finances God's Way. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of the ministry, are your tour guides. And Evelyn, we are at...
Week 5 is all about generosity.
Not everybody's favorite subject. And the Bible verse for this week.
And the verse for week 5 is from Acts 20:35, and it reads, "Keep in mind the words of the Lord Jesus, who himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" So what we focus on in the week on generosity is attitudes and the approach to giving. So our attitude about giving should be to do it in love. The advantage of giving is to grow closer to God. And the amount to give should be determined between you and your spouse once you take it to prayer.
And we also explore what the Bible and the Catechism and the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have defined as the amount that we should give, and the social justice aspects of giving to the poor and to the needy.
Okay, and I'm sure everybody wants to know, what's the amount they say we should give?
Actually, the bishops say there is no amount to give.
That's right. They actually, in that document, say nothing.
Nothing.
We are not required to give anything.
The challenge that they throw out is that you should give according to your capability. We are probably all capable of giving more. And we fall back on our worldly mentality to make that determination instead of thinking from a godly perspective.
There's a document called Stewardship, A Disciple's Response, that was written maybe 23 or 4 years ago.
1992 was originally published.
And one of the statements in there is that we are required to give nothing. It's a heart response out of love for God, our giving, which is not how a lot of people think about it. A lot of people tend to think of giving as just another bill to pay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the wrong attitude. The attitude needs to be an offering in love to God himself. No matter what you think of the priest or the parish or what you think of the church at the moment, you're giving the money to Jesus himself.
So during this week of the Bible study, you spent some time talking about changing the attitude that
It's
not a bill.
That's right.
That the giving has to come from the heart.
Yeah, and an interesting topic we usually get into in this week is online giving. Part of our giving represents the Genesis of the early church, where people brought food for the poor and money for the poor and needy to the Mass, and then that was distributed after Mass. And now, when we have online giving, it's just kind of out of sight, out of mind. It's not like we're offering something at the Mass for the community's use.
So when you're talking about giving, it's not giving to the specific church that you attend. It's just giving,
giving
to God. I read a very interesting article concerning the online giving, pretty much from 25 all the way through to seniors would prefer to give online, the majority. I mean, it's not like 80%, but depending on the age groups, it's always over 50% would prefer to give online. The problem is that for most churches, while they've gotten the giving online part, they haven't gotten the part where, how do I, as a person sitting in the pew, represent that I am giving? You know, I have a card that I can put in the basket that says I'm an online giver and this is my prayer for the week, or something along those lines, so that they can actively participate within the worship service from a giving standpoint. Even though they're giving outside, you know, they may do it sometime during a week or once a month or wherever, but there is not a process in most churches where they can participate, actively participate in that process.
I know one of our local churches here in our area has an envelope that has a large flap on it. And on the flap, it's, "My gifts this week to the Lord are time, talent, and treasure." And if you give online, you can put what your weekly giving is there. But you can also put down what time you spent with God this week and what your talents are that you've used for the service of the Lord this week. And I think that's a good way to involve not only online givers, but also children.
Yes, absolutely. So the practical application for this week is the giving grid. And you analyze where your giving is from a local parish standpoint, a local community standpoint, and a national, and then also a global standpoint. Are you giving to global missions or whatever?
Okay, let's move on to week six. Week six is all about work. That's another four-letter word like debt. And the verse this week is from Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And it reads, "Whatever your task, work heartily as for serving the Lord, not men. You are serving the Lord Christ."
So the focus this week is on work and the role that God plays in work. We should view our work as a way of serving God, and a way that we are using the talents that He has given us and the skills that He has given us to the betterment of society. And in this case, you know, that's your work responsibilities, but that contributes ultimately to society. And we also talk about the responsibilities as employees and as employers. If you happen to be in a position where you're a manager or maybe you're a business owner, we talk about that.
We also talk about some other work-related issues, such as the benefits or negative aspects on the family when both parents are working. Now, we don't give anybody the a dictation that says you must or must not have both parents working, but we ask you to think through some things about working with both parents in the family. There's just a lot of attitude discussions about people that maybe don't deserve it getting promoted over you and that sort of thing, the kinds of things that happen in a work environment.
By now, in week six, you've been meeting for 6 weeks, you're in 12 hours you've spent with these people. The discussion is really pretty free-flowing. Everybody's holding each other accountable, for example, in the memorization of the verses, and it's kind of fun, and you're bonding with the other participants. The practical applications for this week involve, again, creating from the tracking that you've been doing, we want you to create a spending plan or...
Oh, the B word.
The B word, budget. It's time to put categories around all that spending so that you can start to really do a good job of managing.
From your experience, how difficult is it for people after tracking for 6-7 weeks to start honing down on where they need to cut or eliminate?
That happens once they start putting them into categories. So when you put all of the things related to groceries and eating out and stuff in one category, and you put all of the things that are related to, for example, personal expenditures and things like that. So as you put them in categories, then you can begin to see what's happening, and you have the opportunity, because there's examples in a book, of comparing that to like a national average. What does a typical person spend? The other thing that the other practical application here is talking about the difference between the income a second wage earner earns and the expenses that they incur because now they're going out and working.
Yeah, if you're making, let's say, $20 an hour, you're not really bringing home $20 an hour because you've got probably lunches out. Maybe the family is eating more convenience food because the second spouse that's working is tired and doesn't feel like cooking.
You got more clothes. You got cleaning to worry about.
Transportation costs.
Yeah,
so there's
yeah.
a lot of costs associated with the second wage earner. So we ask you to look at that, too.
Week seven is on saving and investing. The verse for week seven is, "Precious treasure remains in the house of the wise, but the fool consumes it." That's Proverbs 21:20. There's also a second verse from Proverbs 21:5. "The plans of the diligent are sure of profit, but all rash haste lead certainly to poverty."
One of the points I want to make is that Compass Catholic Ministries doesn't provide any specific saving or investing advice. We talk about attitudes, but we don't give you any place specific to invest your money. So that's important for people to know. There's no ulterior motive in us talking about this. Nor do we let anybody who's involved with the ministry use this as a way to generate business.
True.
So there's no ulterior motive here. We're just talking about godly attitudes in these areas.
Exactly. So we want to talk about what is the purpose for saving? Why should you be saving? And we want to discuss the balance between saving to become rich and saving to provide for the needs of your family. There's a difference there.
The other thing is that we talk about the investment opportunities you get or the saving opportunities you have because you save earlier. And the earlier you start saving, the better off you're going to be. And I think you have a chart that shows that, don't you, John? that shows the difference between two people. One started saving earlier, and the other one waited several years and started saving?
There's a chart in the book, and it's called Matthew and Danielle. And Danielle started an IRA saving $1,000 a month when she was...
A year, I'm sorry, right.
$1,000 a year when she was 21. And she did that through her 28th birthday. So she saved a total of $8,000 in an IRA. Matthew didn't really even start savings until he was 29. And then he saved for 38 years until he was 37 years. He saved $37,000. Who had the most money at age 65? You would think it would be Matthew because he saved $37,000. He put it into savings. But in fact, because Danielle started early and allowed everything to compound, she had almost $428,000, while Matthew only had $363,000.
So let's talk about the practical applications. We do a net worth calculation this week. We tweak your spending plan so that you can adjust it as you need to. This is where we also talk about the percentage guidelines for the different categories in your spending plan. And we start asking you to track your actual spending against the plan. Before,
yes,
we were just tracking what you were spending. Now we're tracking it against a plan.
Exactly.
We've covered a lot of information so far, but fear not. You can go to compasscatholic.org, click on Bible studies, and take your own tour of the 9-week study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. If you feel this would be a great study for your parish, fill out the contact form on the website and we'll get in touch with you. How to Deal with a Crisis is coming next. This is Manage Your Money God's Way on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.
You're listening to Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry. John and Evelyn Bean, the co-founders of Compass Catholic, are taking us on a tour of our Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way. And this is week 8, John.
Week 8 is entitled Crisis and Perspective, and the verse for this week is one of those verses that hopefully never leaves your mind once you memorize it. For I have learned to be content in any and all circumstances. I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and want. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. And that's from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 4, verses 11 and 13. Paul had to learn to be content. Where does that put us?
Having to learn even more how to be content, right?
That's very good, Evelyn.
You know, one of the things I like about this week is that we really encourage people to develop a crisis budget. By this time, they understand where they've been spending money. They've got a proposed budget, and what we ask them to do is to look and think about what the most likely crisis is that will occur in their life. You know, maybe it's being cut from a two-income family to a one-income family. Maybe the bonus that you've been counting on goes away. Maybe your company goes out of business or moves to a different location and you have to pick up and move. There's all kinds of financial crisis that can occur, and we ask you to prepare for those ahead of time. So if something does happen, you know immediately how to respond.
And we talk about what role that God plays when there is a crisis. And you know, one of the topics that always comes up in this discussion is why bad things happen to good people. So we have some discussions about that.
Mm-hmm.
And like St. Paul, we talk about how we can learn to be content. And we talk about what we should be teaching our children.
Yes. One of the things I really enjoy in this is that we look at a poverty, a prosperity, and a stewardship mindset. And a poverty mindset says that if you're a faithful Christian, you should always be poor. And a prosperity mindset is the people that teach if you're a good Christian, you should have lots of money, because God will bless you for being a good Christian. But a stewardship mindset says, no matter what I have, how much or how little, I'm faithful in handling it according to God's ways. So that's a real important differentiation there.
It is extremely important. The practical applications for this week is to organize your estate. That's an important thing because, you know, even if you're young, you still need to have your estate organized. You have no clue. All you got to do is listen to the news for a week and see how many young people, married or not, die unexpectedly. And if their estate is not put together, then their family is really, truly left to struggle. We want you to develop the crisis budget as part of the practical application. Not only are you going to continue to track your spending against your categories, but you're also going to start tweaking your categories and your spending so that maybe you've got too much in groceries, so you're going to move some of that someplace else. So week 9 is called eternity. The verse for week 9 is, what profit is there for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Mark 8:36. So what we do today will help to determine what our eternity is going to be like.
You know, we always hear the church being described as the pilgrim church on earth. And I think the first time that I heard this was really when that phrase hit home, because we are pilgrims. We're just here for a short period of time. We're traveling to our ultimate home, where our citizenship, which is in heaven. And how we live our lives here and now, and how our relationship is with Jesus, has such an impact on our true home in heaven.
Are we truly the stewards of all the blessings that God has bestowed upon us? Do we act that way? Do we really think about that in our daily lives? You know, this week ties all the topics that we've learned over the 9 weeks together into kind of one big package. For many, transformation is complete. In their heart, they're living their life as if God owns everything.
They're living their life recognizing that God
exactly
owns everything.
Yes. Others, it takes a while longer. The hard-headed ones, it might take another year or so. But it's a concept, you've learned it, and now it's a process of applying it.
And one of the things that comes out of these classes are friendships. I think a lot of our friends have come out of the classes we've done over the years, and being with people that are like-minded that can support us in our journey, and we can support them in their journey. It's the kind of people that you can share your heart with without worrying about being judged or thought of as crazy.
I can't think of any of our close friends who haven't been in the class with us.
You're probably right.
That, you know, I mean, that's how important it can be in your life.
But that's a great support structure.
Yes, it is, because you've all got the same mindset. You can seek counsel, godly counsel, from each other, and you're going to be coming from the same perspective, the same reference point.
Which doesn't mean your friends are going to agree with you if you're asking them for counsel, but they are going to give you a godly perspective on the counsel you're seeking, which is real important.
Yes, absolutely.
So the practical application for week 9 is to talk about, with your spouse if you're married, your life goals. What do you want to accomplish over the next year, the next 5 years, the next 10 years? And for a lot of people, that's the first time they've ever sat down and looked at a long-term perspective on what they want to accomplish, both financially and spiritually.
And I think that's important, because it helps to give you that roadmap, and it gives you the target of where you're headed. I think if you've got that stuff written down, you know, it all goes back to visualization. You know, if you create a visualization, you put it on the refrigerator, and this is your goal, you know, whether it's a mini me or a skinny me or you know, a financially fit me, if you're seeing that all the time, that visualization, you will begin to absorb and adopt the characteristics necessary to make that happen.
You're right. Very right. As soon as you get it in your mind, you can accomplish it.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the big blessings of this Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, is that it draws a couple closer together. over the years, we've seen so many couples who were not on the same page about money. One of them was a spender, or the other was a saver. They just didn't have a good way to communicate. And once they took this Bible study together, it really gave them a way to communicate about something that was one of the most controversial parts of their marriage, but it was done in a way that was wrapped in prayer and the Word of God. And that's a real blessing for many couples.
It wasn't, it becomes not a way to pin something on the spouse. It's a way to discuss things that are happening to the budget plan, to the categories, and work within that to make it work. So most people completing the study will be looking for something else to do.
And we have another one for them to do.
And what is that, Evelyn?
Set Your House in Order. It's a deep dive into getting all of your important information organized. And we will talk about that at another time. But that's a great follow-up to this study. The other thing is that once people go through the study, their role as stewards becomes more important to them. So they're volunteering more around the parish. They're participating in Mass more. They're attending adoration and prayer. And the pastor might want to also know.
Oh, don't tell him. Don't tell the pastor.
That their giving increases.
Okay, so I love what I've heard over the last 55 minutes. So how do I get this at my parish?
Well, first thing is to find somebody who's an interested leader, and maybe that's you. Okay, you can be the focal point. You need to get two or three of your closest friends together and say, we're going to be the core team, and we're going to bring this to our parish. And you need to really talk to your pastor about it to make sure that he's on board with it.
The books can be ordered online. We have either hard copy or e-books available at compasscatholic.org. And go to the banner in the main navigation bar that says store. And you can order the books there. If you're opening it up to the whole parish, then you need to advertise it in a way that works best in your parish.
Yeah, the parish in Austin did a variety of things. They used Facebook, their website. They had signs in the narthex prior to the weeks they were signing people up for the class.
And they really had a big group the first time, didn't they?
Yeah, they had three groups, one in Spanish, two in English, and they had a waiting list for the next session that will be starting soon.
That's good. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the books are available in both Spanish and English. So if you're a parish that has both English speakers and Spanish speakers, you can serve both communities with the same material.
Mm-hmm. One thing that you have to realize is that when you start talking about money, you're dealing with people's egos. Nobody wants to go into a class thinking they're going to have to talk about money, that they're going to have to admit to that they've got debt or any of that kind of stuff. That's all ego related. And so this is not a Bible study for people who are in trouble. It's not a Bible study to raise money. It's a long-term stewardship strategy for the parish.
And the individuals.
And for the individuals, exactly.
So if you're interested in becoming a facilitator, you can get trained on the Compass Catholic website. There's a way to sign in and create a user ID and a password as a facilitator. Give us a call and let us know if we can help.
Yes, definitely call us. Also, if you have an interest in the Bible study at your parish, our phone number is 844-447-6263, or you'll find a contact form on the website. Just fill that out and we'll get back in touch with you really quick. I know we had a lot of information that we covered today, and if you did not have an opportunity to catch it all, you can take your very own tour of the Bible study, Navigating Your Finances God's Way, by going to compasscatholic.org. Click on Bible Studies. You can review all 9 weeks, all the topics, plus see the practical applications that we spoke about today. Well, thank you so much for listening, and we invite you back for Manage Your Money God's Way from Compass Catholic Ministry on Breadbox Media.
You're listening to Breadbox Media. Find out more at breadboxmedia.com.